this week on the Time Bat Show.
I'm kind of like the oatmeal, the oatmeal raisin of the friendship world. Hello and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode 130-something. I don't even know anymore. I'm one of your hosts, Time Aces.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And you are in the jungle right now.
I'm in North Carolina right now, camping in a cabin.
And you actually have internet in that moment.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I figured there would be internet because there's internet everywhere. But when I looked through this house today to see how I would be able to do this podcast, I noticed that their modem has a telephone cable coming out of it, as opposed to a cable.
It's very old.
Yeah. So I'm on basically dial-up right now.
Forgive me, I'm eating during the podcast.
What are you eating?
I want to do. I got Whataburger on my way home.
Sweet. What did you get today?
I got a double with cheese and grilled onions.
Perfect.
So, yep. Old standby.
Was it a really good day or a really bad day?
How do you know these so much about me?
I don't know.
You're like, he went to Whataburger. Either his day was really good or really bad. Right? Is that what you're trying to say right now?
Yeah, that was the implication.
What do you think it was?
I can try to analyze what your order was and kind of go off of that.
Okay, do it.
So I think if you were doing really good, it would have been a jalapeno burger.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Or a melt, because that's kind of like
that's kind of
off the path a little.
Yeah, and you're like, ooh, melt. I'm going to try something nice today. I haven't done this in a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a double with cheese is like I need the core Whataburger burger experience to bring my spirits up.
Yeah, you need like the comfort food Whataburger.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guessed correctly. I'll tell you that right now. It was a day. It was okay.
Anything you want to talk about? Or
not really. Not really. I don't know. I'm getting kind of depressed. It happens all the time, though. Yeah, that's okay. I have a lot of stress right now in my job. And I don't know. I feel appreciated, but like not, I don't know, not enough sometimes. I don't know. It's a complicated feeling, I guess.
Yeah, I feel that.
It's just, I'm just stressing out, you know. Just, I don't like to talk about work on this podcast, but
yeah,
suffice it to say that it's stressing me out, and you know, sometimes I need to rant or vent or eat Whataburger about it to make it better.
Eating Whataburger about it is one of my favorite things.
My favorite pastime. In the car home, yeah. I was like, "What do I do when I'm stressed?" And I thought, and it's the same three things that I like in real life. Like, there's only like I don't like a lot of things. I don't like most things. But there are three things that I really like, and those are the three things I do when I'm stressed out. One is eat, two is listen to music, and three is talk to somebody that I'm really friendly with, like you. Like, I'll talk to you a lot when I'm stressed out. So, like, you know, it just goes back to what I normally do, just I need it more because I'm so stressed out, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what I do when I'm stressed. Before I left for the camping trip or whatever that I was doing this week, I was super stressed about work, about life. I was, like, having a time too, but going camping, that's something that's harder to do, but it does help a little bit.
Yeah.
Whataburger and music and talking to friends is more accessible though in everyday life. So that's camping. Usually what I do.
To be fair, if I could go camping right now, I would freaking do it. I'd be like, bye, I'm going camping. We should go camping together.
Yeah, we should.
I feel like we haven't before. Maybe we haven't.
Well, we've missed our like yearly get together, I feel like, by a month or so.
I have something for you.
Oh, cool.
I have an idea. I'm not gonna say it on the air because I don't want people to follow us there. Not that we have like those kinds of fans.
Yeah.
But I have a good idea. Someone else mentioned it to me. It might be a group thing. But we'll figure something out. I'll tell you off air, but
okay.
You'll be excited about it. Anyway,
I am. I'm super stoked.
I feel like
stoked.
We're having a conversation. We're not actually doing a podcast right now.
Well, we didn't have any topics to, like, begin
That's
with.
That's true. I'm eating Whataburger. You're in a cabin. I mean, we have, like, limited stuff to talk about today.
We're doing our best.
We are. So, I guess this is a topic that I've wanted to bring up. What was it? I think it was... I had it on the tip of my tongue just before we started the podcast, and I can't remember what it was.
Didn't we have, like, I was reading...
Oh, go ahead.
I sort of have something that we talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. I was reading the news this morning, and I saw that there's a human-monkey hybrid has been created.
Really?
Yeah, it's been created in China by that scientist that did the pig-human hybrids.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't feel good about it. I'm not going to lie.
I was going to ask how that's legal, but it's in China, so that makes sense.
Yeah, you're allowed to science
anything
the hell out of
some... Anything goes in China. Yeah. It's a human-monkey hybrid?
Yeah, they don't keep them alive past a certain number of days, so it doesn't, like, become a full thing.
See, that's the always thing that confused me about hybridization, like the people that do, like, clone the sheep or whatever. They're like, don't keep it alive past 5 days. That's unethical. But it's like, is it ethical to kill it, though? Like, it's very confusing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who makes these rules?
And so, in the same article, it said the main goal, like, the purpose of the science that they're doing is so that they can eventually grow organs and stuff for transplants, which would be great, right?
Right.
But how are you going to do that unless it gets beyond, like, 14 days? You need a little time for that liver to, like,
see, I
come.
Feel like what they're doing...
Yeah.
Is they are testing these things, and when they're doing experiments, they can't do it past 14 days or whatever. But then when they've got the approval from the government to make the organs, that's when they give them the leeway. It's like, now it's ethical to keep them alive for a year or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which really raises the question of, like, was it really ethical to begin with? Because if you have to modify the ethical rules depending on the outcome of what you're doing, seems a little sketchy to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's an ends justifies the means kind of deal, right? Like, if it's suddenly ethical to keep a sheep, keep a human chimp hybrid alive a year if you're harvesting organs from it, but it's not ethical to keep them alive if you're not harvesting organs from it, then is it ethical to, I don't know, breed a child and harvest organs from them as long as you keep them alive for a year? Like, you know, it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, it... Yes, it's technically not fully human, but it's part human. I guess that makes it better to harvest
organs
from...
Is it better? Is it better or is it worse?
I don't know.
It's not good, is what my opinion of that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it. The problem is it's complicated. It's not, like, a clear good or bad ethically thing.
Yeah.
And if you can save people, that's great, but I don't know, you're kind of doing some weird shit in the meantime, right? Like, if you could grow children, let's have this ethical debate right now. If you can grow children in a tube, which you actually can, but if you could grow children in a tube, like cloned children, and harvest their organs to give to people, is that ethical?
I don't think it is, because, you know, they have more life to live than the person that's going to get the organ, right?
Uh-huh, sure.
I don't think it's, you can't, like, choose, I think the main thing is it's unethical to choose a person's destiny for them. Like, oh, your destiny
is to
give your liver away.
But if you cross them with a monkey, we're good, we're fine now?
Yeah, I think it's...
it's all kosher now?
I think as long as maybe the face doesn't look too human.
So, this is the question. Are they just crossing humans with monkeys just so they can get around the weird ethical loophole of harvesting organs from actual people? Because it sounds that's a yes, right?
I didn't think about that at all.
But I feel like that's why, right? Because if it wasn't ethically weird to do it with humans, they'd just do that. They'd grow humans in a vat and then harvest their organs, you know? Have them comatose.
It'd be so much easier,
all their life.
I imagine.
Yeah, it's super unethical, but... they would do that. So they're crossing with monkeys so they can be like, look, it's not a human. It's a monkey. You know.
And seems, we eat chickens, and, you know, at a certain point, it's basically the same thing.
It's the same thing. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah, but maybe science will advance. I don't know. I'm not an ethicist. Moral, I don't know the name of it, but I enjoy talking about it, but I don't have any, you know, I don't know, grounds for comparing. But I feel like, you know, scientists should. So.
Yeah.
So, a funny thing happened to me over the last week, which is kind of weird. It's not the cause of my anxiety. Even though, maybe you would might interpret it as, it's not.
Okay.
So, last Thursday, I was at work, and, maybe it was last Friday, I don't remember. I was at work, talking to my coworkers about something, blah, 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 blah. Somehow, I accidentally slipped that I do a podcast. Very nonchalantly, right? Like a, you know, nonchalant kind of slippage. Like, I do a podcast. Like, very just off the cuff. And I didn't think anyone would pick up on it, but they did. And they did hard. And someone found it immediately, like, within 5 minutes. And here we are. So, my point is, the sacred chamber that we have here has been breached. There are people in real life that I know that know about my podcast now. Our podcast, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's happened to you before. It hasn't happened to me. Because I'm very careful, and I'm very anonymous on purpose. And the only people I know that do this in real life are my wife, you, obviously. And, like, I think my mom knows, right?
Yeah, but she doesn't care. Like,
but everyone else I don't tell, because it's weird. It's weird. And here's the other thing that's weird. So when someone listens to your podcast a lot, they hear your voice a lot, and they get to know your opinions on things that normally you wouldn't share with
with other people.
With other people. Not that I say anything terrible on this podcast, but still, you know, it's a little weird. But that being said, you know, it's all in good fun, and I don't know. Some of my coworkers seem to be enjoying this, and one in particular, I will give a shout out. You know who you are. That's all I'm going to say. So thank you for listening to the Time Bat Show. Like a freaking mad person. Like 8 or 9 episodes already. In like a week's time. That's insane. So here we go. We've got one super fan to add to our bucket of like 3 or 4 what we have.
Which is cool.
Which is cool. Sure. It's cool. It's definitely cool.
Yeah. It still makes me feel weird though. We've been doing this a long time. And you know, like you said... I did have coworkers find out about this thing, and I still don't know how they did it, because I didn't tell them.
Yeah.
It's especially weird because, you know, you're anonymous online, but I'm even more anonymous.
Yeah, you're like you're super anonymous.
Yeah, like I don't say anything.
Like I know how they found me, and that's because they know my screen name and they just Googled that with podcast, and then they're like, okay, boom, there it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know, aside from you and maybe, like, 2 other people, no one in my real life even knows what my online screen name is or my aliases.
And that's what I mean. Like, I don't know how you'd find that out. But anyway, it's kind of nice to know someone in real life that talks to me about my podcast. That's cool.
It is cool. You know, I don't know if it would be better or worse, but at least they didn't listen to one episode and be like, oh.
That would definitely be worse, like, I think. Well, maybe that would. No, that'd be worse. That'd be worse. Now, if it's someone that I wasn't friends with, it would be better, right? Right? Because then it would be like, oh, you listened to one, you didn't like it. Great. We never have to talk about this again. Goodbye.
Yeah,
you
know we can leave it in the closet.
But if it's someone that you're friends with and they're like, they listen to one and they're like, oh, that was okay. And then it's like an awkward thing that's overhanging all the time, you know? It's like, okay, you know, I think my humor's weird or whatever. I don't know. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. So that happened. Which is kind of fun, but what are you going to do? I'm struggling to talk about things this week because we have literally nothing prepared.
Yeah, and I've been, like, off the grid. Nothing's happened to me that's
super
exciting.
You're like
a
caveman over there.
Yeah, I basically haven't had technology the whole
also,
week.
I'm
I have no idea what's happening.
Trying to eat this cheeseburger as we do this podcast, which is a very difficult task, I must say, because you have to chew as you eat, which is really hard to do. So I'm, like, hoping you have more to say, and then I can, like, take more bites of my cheeseburger, you see.
Okay.
This is like the most boring episode we've ever had.
I'm sorry. It's my fault.
No, it's not. It's my fault for having nothing prepared and eating a Whataburger. at the same time. But yes, I'd love to do a Reddit. We also have a listener question from the person that now listens to our podcast. Thank you very much. And we'll do that later. But let's do a Reddit first.
So this question on Reddit was posted by Slim Shady, 1397. Thank you, Slim Shady.
Were they born in 1897? Because that's very old.
Slim Shady. Maybe a vampire Slim Shady.
There you go.
He says, help, how does one gain followers?
On Twitter?
On it anything? Doesn't specify.
I know how to gain followers. I don't do it, but I know how to do it.
How do you do it?
You post sexy pictures of yourself. That's it. That's all there is to it. Or someone else. You know, as long as it's somebody. As long as it's sexy, right?
I think I have another good way to do it.
What's another good way?
You can take stuff that people with a lot of followers post and just post it.
Like, this is
like,
mine.
Like
now.
You did it.
Like, I made this thing. It's mine now.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. Yeah. It's a good way. I don't have like
stuff like that on Twitter.
Like, what? You know? What do you mean?
There'll be one funny video and I'll see it. And then I'll notice that the same funny video is posted on like 10 different accounts with different comments, and they all have like absurd interactions, like 300,000 or something. And it's like, they didn't all make the video.
They stole it and they don't credit it. I saw this one recently that was like some guy that was making this cool like music with like one of those like DJ button things. I don't remember what they're called. It was really cool, and it was like a cool song, and I was like, this is dope. And I like go in the comments, and I realize the guy that posted on Twitter is not the guy that made it, and he didn't even credit the guy that posted it anywhere. I had to scroll like a while to get to the like a person that said, this is this person, you can follow him on Instagram or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you're just taking this cool guy's thing and like making it your own thing to get retweets. Like, it's stupid. But I mean, that's the internet in a nutshell.
Yeah.
It's like life in a nutshell, man.
People Actually, steal. Yeah.
It is. People steal your shit. Don't tell you.
You know, I think about that a lot. All the greatest people that anyone talks about are at least hundreds of years old. There's no one alive right now that is as famous as, for example, like Albert Einstein or Shakespeare.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe he's like 10 different people.
It could be. Like, there's been theories that Shakespeare is, like, multiple people.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of these famous people, we have no way to verify if they're the ones that actually did the stuff that they did.
No.
Because it's all in books. You can make that shit up. You can be like, yeah, he did that. I don't know. So, I don't know. I bet there's a lot more historical discovery theft than we realize.
Yeah.
You know, which is weird.
Do you think it's going to go up or down?
As the internet grows and technology grows?
Yeah.
I think it's going to go up. And the reason I think it's going to go up is because we're coming to the, like, critical mass. Oh, this is a good topic we can talk about. We're coming to, like, critical mass of information. What's the word? Information verification, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we are almost at the point where it's impossible to verify anything anymore.
Yeah.
I think we are. Because everyone has everything to know already. I was talking about this with my wife recently, and we were talking about the Equifax. Did you hear about the data breach thing on Equifax or whatever?
I heard about it from you.
So Equifax is a credit company, and they have a bunch of people's personal information. And no one gave it to them. They just have it because the government gives them to them because it's stupid. And, like, 2 years ago, they got hacked by hackers, and a lot of this information got leaked to hackers and stuff. So hackers have all this personal information now. And they got sued, like a class action lawsuit, and now it's come to light that they have to do a settlement, like a class action settlement. And what they have done is they let you, if go on their website, plug in your personal info, like your, you know, last six digits of your social, last name, home address, blah, 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 blah. And it will verify whether or not you were a person that was data breached. And if it was, they will send you $125. And the thing I think is really stupid about this is you have to give them your personal information to see if they had your personal information in which they've lost. You know, so there's no, like, the end result for them is they're going to get more personal information now that they didn't have. Like, because they didn't have the information of every American, for sure. And now they're going to get closer to that because all these people are going to want $125. And they're also going to want to know if their data was breached by Equifax. Which is weird because you're just giving them your data back, right? It's like, Equifax, do you have my data? Like, well, you're going to have to give us your data to let us figure out if we had it and it was breached. And you're like, all right, here it is. And they're like, well, we didn't, but now we do. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks for that. We'll try not to do it again.
And then if they did have your data, you put your data in and they're like, oh, yes, we did have your data and it was leaked. And now if you've verified that your data is accurate so that the next time the hackers hack us, they know for sure that this is all up to date. Just a kind of a capitalist irony, something about that there, you know, it's just nice.
Yeah, the way that settlement worked doesn't make any sense to me because, so were they forced, do you know if they were forced to give out this kind of stipend they're doing, this $125?
I have no idea. I think they were probably forced to pay out something, and I'm sure they're both lawyers on both sides fought for the exact amount that they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the line, they, you know, that's where they settled. They settled $125 a person. So I'm guessing it was a combination of Equifax's lawyers and the whoever was suing them's lawyers settling on this dollar amount. My data is worth $125 to Equifax, when in reality it's probably worth thousands of dollars. But, you know, who's to say?
Yeah, the way I'm imagining it went down, and I haven't read the exact story, but the way I would guess it went down is they're getting sued, and they say, how about if we take this gesture and we use that as the settlement?
Like, and they were like, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, and then the people were like, okay, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it would have come up that, like, the procedure for doing it, but I imagine Equifax's lawyers are like, okay, we need to make sure the money's going to the right people, so there needs to be a verification process where people send us their
information.
Their information.
So we can re-verify that it's correct.
Yeah. Otherwise, we might just be given $125.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. So that next time they're hacked, they can, you know, the hackers can be sure they have accurate information on the people that So I don't know. That's one of the things that leads me to believe that. But that's one example of, like, data being unverifiable now. It's like Equifax is, you know, they have all your data and someone else has all your data. And, like, eventually all these companies are going to have all your data, right? And then we're going to get to the point where you're like, okay, prove your identity. And you're like, well, here's my social security, here's my home address, here's my blah, blah, blah. And you'll get back like, well, five of the people have that. You know, they've claimed that already. And you're like, no, it's me, I swear. And they're like, well, how do you know? Prove it. And you're like, well, this is my social security number. Like, well, that's too bad. Other people have that already. Like, how do you prove who you are when that information is public knowledge, you know?
Yeah, it's like, impossible. What's your dog's first name? Okay, all the hackers know that too. Mom's middle name, they have that too. Mm-hmm. I was dealing with this right before the podcast. I was getting set up and I had to get Skype, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To sign into Skype, Microsoft says, you need to verify that this is your account because, you know, you're signing in from a
different computer or whatever.
You're signing in North Carolina. You don't usually do that. So I went to check my email to get the verification code. Guess what? Google's like, wait, this isn't you, is it? You're in North Carolina.
Who's this?
We need
person?
To send you a text to your phone so that you can get to Microsoft's email and get that code and put it into Skype.
And put it into blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, what the hell is going on anymore?
Yeah. You know, I eventually got the text. And then I put the text code into the email, and then I got the email code and put it in Skype, and then everything was fine.
It's like a 12-step process, though. But see, that's what it's going to be in the future, right? We have two-factor authentication now. Eventually, we're going to need, like, 12-factor authentication, where it's like, well, we can't verify that's you unless you give us this, 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 and text, like, text you and then email you and then, like, send a letter to your house that you sign, you know what I mean? Like,
how do you fix that? What's the solution?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is fingerprints, right? That's the only thing I can think of. Because a fingerprint is physical. You can't spoof a fingerprint in data. I mean, you can spoof it kind of in a way of, like, I can send a fingerprint file or something. But
yeah,
if there's, like, a physical layer of the fingerprint and the validation is on, like, the client side and not the server side, then I think you can do that. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would work. But we're so against fingerprint scanning technology. We've tried it so many times, and they're like, no, that's too inconvenient. It's like, well, it's like the only thing that's going to work, right?
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know. The only other way I can imagine is like DNA, right?
That would be the best.
You prick your thumb every time you want to verify something, and it takes a sample of your DNA, and you're like, yep, that's you. Good, we're done. And it has to be like fresh blood, right? Or else it just is like, no, that doesn't count. Like, you can't store someone's blood to like verify them as a person.
You can't have like a DNA stick that you carry in your wallet.
I don't know. Like, there's really no good solution for this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of frightening. And I think at some point we're going to get to the point where like there's nothing we can do about it. There's going to be so much data that everybody knows everything about you. And here's the thing that scares me. Because I was talking about this with my wife, and it wasn't an argument, but she was like, oh, I think you're making too big a deal out of it. And I was like, well, eventually everyone's going to have everyone's data. And she's like, well, then it won't matter. And I'm like, exactly. That's the problem. Because if data doesn't matter, then it's useless. Like, the entire infrastructure of the digital future completely falls apart when data is meaningless, right? Like, if everyone has my data, then it's useless to everybody at the same time because I'm never going to use it to do anything anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's a big problem for the internet. Like, that's a huge problem for the internet, right? It's like, and we're getting there. We're sprinting there to that future, in my opinion, with all these companies competing to own your data.
Yeah. I wish I had better things to say about it. Like, oh, we could try this, or we could not do this.
Any good solution. I feel like there's a data apocalypse coming, and it's coming in like 10 years. I can just feel it. And I'm being very pessimistic and conspiratorial about this. It's like the one thing I'm really conspiracy theory on, right? Like, I'm not really a conspiracy theorist, but like people will ask me about this and I will go off the rails about how crazy I feel like it's going to be. And they're like, wow, that sounds really ridiculous. And I'm like, I think it's going to be this ridiculous though. Cause like, there's not any good solution for it. And I don't think we're going to go to the dark ages or anything, but I think the digital world as we know it is going to drastically change because of data and the too much of it everywhere all the time.
So. Well, I've enjoyed like 10 years of online banking, and you know, I like to pay my rent online.
You're going to really have to go back.
I really like to buy things on Amazon.
You're going to have to go back to the bank to pay it, and you're going to have to, like, mail letters, you know. All that is going to come back because we're not going to be comfortable doing it online anymore.
Yeah. I don't really care about having an identity online. I think anonymity works better for, like, the quality of the internet.
No, you're probably right.
I like to buy things on Amazon, though. That's nice.
It is convenient. Maybe there's a way that, like, I don't even know. There's not really a good way to do this. Yeah. The only way to do it is to, like, no, that doesn't make sense either. I was going to say, like...
I think you're right. I think it's biometrics. I think it's either a fingerprint or something that you have on you that you can't take off.
You have, like, a chip embedded in your hand.
No one's going to dig that. That'll never work.
Okay, I don't know. And you can't take it out, right? And if you take it out...
Explodes.
I'm getting a call. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Hello? Hey. Hey, we're doing a podcast right now. Can I help you?
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Okay. All right. No, it's fine. Have fun. All right, bye. Sorry about that. It explodes if it comes out. Sorry, that was my wife. She was calling me, and I needed to answer it because you have to do that. You know, you got to make sure everything's okay, everything's fine.
Yeah,
but you know, you gotta do that. There's a thing in your hand, and you can't take it out, or it blows up, and you blow up, and then that's the way you verify. And they're unique.
I can make it funnier. So blowing up is kind of impractical, right? You can't store like a big bomb in a little chip. What you got to do is it just makes you really sick.
Okay, so it regulates something you need in your body.
Yeah.
And if it takes
it
out,
has a
like...
deadly disease inside, and if you tamper with it, You get like...
See, now the problem is we're living in like a totalitarian future now. Like it's either the data is meaningless or totalitarian future.
Or no, maybe it doesn't kill you. Maybe it just disfigures you. Like it gives you leprosy.
No, this is still totalitarian.
You can choose to take it out, but then you have to live with the colony of
you're
lepers.
A leper? This is the worst idea I've ever heard.
What else are you going to do? I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay, you got the chip in your hand. If you take it out, nothing happens. It's fine. Oh, if you take it out, it needs to be exposed to blood. And if it's not, it just destroys itself. So if someone takes it out and tries to implant it in their hand, it's gone. You know what I mean? Like it's dead. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's a little better than like the deadly toxin.
So then it's like if it's removed, it just malfunctions. It like self destructs, not blows up, but it like, you know, self destroys itself. And then, you know, you got to get another one. And in order to do, it's like the hardest thing to get another one in the world, because you have to prove you are you, which is an impossible thing to do. You know what I mean? At that point in society, I would think.
Well, let's figure out how we do that step now, because
step two.
So your thing broke. You like microwaved something. You were too close, or whatever.
You microwaved some oatmeal, and it was like. Because microwaves do it. That it blows up in the microwave.
Yeah. Or like you went diving underwater too deep and it was the pressure or something.
Uh-huh. And it broke it.
Now you got to go to the DMV.
I knew it was going to be the DMV.
What are they going to do? How are they going
to
know?
You wait in the line and they're like, all right. You have to wait in a really long line.
It takes like 3 hours. I hate the DMV.
But they,
so much.
They have an on-site blood analyzer at the DMV now.
Okay.
And you wait in a line, and then you see a nurse. She draws some of your blood, and then she puts it in a database to check it with the match of blood that you have that was tracked when you were born, right? And if it matches, then you get another chip.
Okay.
See, that doesn't work, though, because a hacker could just hack into that, right?
But he can't, like, put your blood in him and go to the DMV and get the chip, right?
But he could change your blood profile to his blood profile, couldn't he?
Okay, so yeah, the chip just stores information.
Yeah, the hacker could totally do that, I think. Right?
It would be hard.
But he could do it.
Yeah.
It would be hard, but he could do it.
Yeah, so, like, he downloads
What do you have? This what is the doing? Solution. We're keep thinking in the online. We have to stop thinking digital, right? You can't think, because if you go to a database, that's where we lost. We lost one immediately when we mentioned the database. We failed. This is what has to happen. At every DMV, they have a sample of every American's blood. And
like
when you go in,
actual blood?
Yes. And when you go into the DMV, they compare that sample of blood with you, with your blood that you've brought, and that verify that you're the same person.
Maybe we can make it easier. Maybe instead of there being a DMV in every town for this, maybe there's just a super DMV in Wisconsin or something. And that
so you have to fly to Wisconsin.
You have to get there if you lost it.
So you have to fly to Wisconsin to get a new chip. And they have all the blood of every American alive currently, right?
Yeah. And dead, probably.
And this is really weird, too. So they have, it's called the blood bank, right? It's the blood bank. And it's a giant, it's like a mausoleum of blood. Like there's just so much vials of blood. And they go in, and you take your blood, and then a tech goes and finds your sample and then looks at both of them under the microscope to make sure they're the same, and then they give you a new chip. And then that's how it works. That's the process. It's really complicated, but that's the process. And you have to send in a form, like, 2 weeks in advance to let them know you're coming, you know.
Right.
So they can get your blood ready. Because there's, like, you know, there's, like, millions of vials of blood. It takes a while to find it, so, like... they need to know it ahead of time that this is when you're coming. You know what I mean?
I mean, like you said, the digital database completely breaks it. So you have to have like Dewey Decimal library card system.
No computers in this whole facility. Like, you can't. The minute you start using a computer, this is susceptible to hacking. Yeah. Right? So it's like a giant blood library, essentially. Yeah. It's the Dewey Decimal System. And there's one librarian. That's what they're called. They're called librarians, even though it's not a library, because that's really cool. Yeah. And there's like a head librarian, and there's an in-training librarian. Mm-hmm. And the head librarian knows all the Dewey Decimal numbers, like, by heart. And the training librarian only knows what they need to know, right?
Okay.
But then when the head librarian retires, they pass on their knowledge to the training librarian, and then a new training librarian is hired.
Yeah.
So there's only like one person that knows where all the blood is and can validate the blood.
You know, I like that. And it's not kept on a computer. Maybe they have a tome in the basement.
It's a really big book.
And
that they just keep updating.
In order to get to it, you have to pass 7 trials.
It's like Last Crusade.
Yes.
You have to drink from the correct goblet or something.
Yeah. There's saws.
And only the librarian knows what the trials are. Yeah. Everyone else that tries to do it could just dies. Because they don't know. And that's part of the knowledge that the head librarian passes down to the assistant librarian.
I like it.
When they leave. See, this is the way to do it. I mean, this would be very convoluted and complicated, but it'd be a lot more secure.
It would. Right? And you know what? It'd be a lot cooler. That would be cool as hell.
The blood librarian. Welcome to the blood library in Madison, Wisconsin. Or whatever, you know. The only problem with this is, what if the blood library catches on fire or something?
What
like
if he
that?
Dies, you know?
Yeah, before he trains up the new person. Like, that's bad.
There has to be a bit more of a safeguard. Because, political enemies of the United States could assassinate our head librarian, and then we're screwed.
What if the librarian is anonymous?
Ooh, no one knows the true identity.
They wear a cloak all the time.
They talk like this. They talk really raspy.
And then when they leave, they take the cloak off. And, you know, you just think it's just a random person that works at the blood library, doing, you know, whatever else you do at the blood library.
Oh, I know how you do this. Okay, so there's a head librarian, and he has like 100 technicians. Okay. At the beginning of the day, when you go to work at the library, everybody goes into one room. The lights go out, and then everyone heads to their office. No one sees who goes where. And then at the end of the day, when everyone's done, none of the technicians talk to each other while they're there.
They're secluded. They're in like pods, and they can't get out until the end of the day.
And there's no electronics, so they have to send like letters to each other or something through a tube system.
There's a pneumatic tube system. Oh, God.
And then at the end of the day, they exit their office, go into the dark room. Light turns on, no one knows who the head guy is.
And they leave.
Or girl. You know, it could be anybody.
It could be anybody. It could be an animal, for all we know. This is good. And the same with the assistant librarian. Like, they don't know who that is either.
Yeah.
Also has to wear a cloak all the time. And the only people that know who they are the librarian knows who the assistant is, and the assistant knows who the head librarian is, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This could work.
Does the assistant know the identity of the master librarian?
Oh, maybe not. The master definitely knows the identity of the apprentice. But maybe not the apprentice knows the identity of the master.
And then when it's his time or her time, they reveal the identity of themselves to the apprentice.
But then they have to die.
Yes.
because the secret cannot escape. Like, because then you could have this, like, you know, double agent situation going on where the retired head librarian knows all the secrets of the library, you know.
Right.
I mean? And that would be bad if Russia ever finds out or whatever, you know.
Yeah. He writes, so, like, a tell-all book. And
yeah, like, about the library. So they need to just, like, they have to die right then. You know what I mean? They're just, they're done. But they choose when they want to retire. So they're like, well, I think I'm on my way out. I'm going to retire. You know, and they're like, all right, this is the end.
You got to go down to the basement.
They have a big party for him, maybe. I don't know. There's some weird ritual involved. It's complicated. So I think this would need to be underground. And the reason I say that is because to avoid, like, attacks from other countries.
Yes.
Like bombing the blood library or something. It would, like, it would have a regular building, but then in order to get to the blood, like, it's all underground, like a bunker. So it's, like, safe from, you know, the outside world.
Yeah, I like that. You can have the offices above ground, but the meat of the library the needs to be held. Because you could have, you know, some kind of bad actor sign up to be a library technician and just kind of take a bomb in there.
Right, but they don't have access to the bank, you know, the library part. They can't get in there. You know, maybe they have, like, one person a week that goes in to, like, clean or something, but, like, the identity is, like, they change the person every week or something, and they, like, I don't know.
There could be a fake library building, and they have, like, three cleaners, and... Like, they have to clean the fake one, too. You don't know which one's the real one.
Nobody knows which one the real one is.
Yeah.
I don't know what the 100 technicians do.
They get all the letters. One person can... I mean, a lot of people are going to lose their trip.
They file the letters to tell the librarian... They basically schedule the librarian's day. You know, they, like, get the letters and, like, all right, this day you're meeting with John Smith. He needs to get his identity back.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. But yeah, there are three buildings, and two are just complete, they don't do anything.
Yeah.
But there's technicians working there too, and they think they're working for the real library, but they're not.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they get fake letters from an agency that sends them. You know, this is really complicated.
They're totally, the librarian just makes fake letters all day.
That's what the assistant librarian's job is. See, this could work. I think we have the solution now. Wisconsin Blood Library. That's it. That's all we have to do, America. Just make a Wisconsin Blood Library, and then we're done. And then you have, you know, the little thing in your hand that is destroyed once you remove it, and that's it. That's all we got to do. It's a piece of cake. Yeah. And that solves all our data problems right there, don't you think?
It's not really that hard if you think about it. I mean, you can make a building, and there's no computers or anything.
How badass would it be to have a blood library like that, right? It sounds so cool.
If you lost your chip, though, that would suck so bad, dude.
It would kind of be cool, though, because you wouldn't see the librarian. You wouldn't see anything.
Like, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't let you fly if you lost your chip, so you have to drive
to Wisconsin. Yeah. What if you live in Hawaii? Like, you're just going to take a boat to...
I guess.
And then the blood librarian mails your... They don't mail it. They send up your new chip in, like, a pneumatic tube.
There needs to be a library surgeon, I just realized.
For what?
The chip is in your body.
Yes, there's a surgery ward as well.
Jeez.
Where they do the surgery to put it back in your hand or whatever. All right. We really nailed that one. We have a listener question today. We have no trivia questions today. I just thought I'd let you know. Our listener question comes from... I don't want to name the person. But you know who you are. Thank you for this listener question. If you were a candy bar... What would you be and why? If you were a candy bar, what would you be and why?
Do you have one?
I don't. I mean, I can think about it. I just thought about this question just now as I read it, so.
Okay. I have something that I thought of kind of immediately.
What's that?
I would say an Almond Joy.
Why is that?
Because most people don't like them. Uh-huh. But the ones that do, they like them a whole lot.
Ooh, that's good. I don't really like Almond Joys, but I get where you're going with that.
You know I don't like them either. They're the worst candy.
You're like an Almond Joy to me. You know what I mean? Like, you are the Almond Joy. This just sounds weird. But you know what I mean, right? That's your point, right? It's like,
yeah.
Almond Joy.
If I liked Almond Joys a whole lot, you would be an Almond Joy to me.
Thank you. Exactly. No, I agree. Almond Joy might be a good answer for me, too. Because I feel like I'm a well-liked person in a way. But I'm not, like, super well-liked. But then some people just seem to really enjoy my company, like you, and vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the Almond Joy, right? I'm kind of like the oatmeal, the oatmeal raisin of the friendship world. You know what I mean? The oatmeal raisin cookie.
That's my favorite cookie, too.
Same principle, right? It's like, you know, not everyone likes them, but the people that love them, they are like, oh, this is great. I love this cookie, right?
Yeah, and they're kind of made with weird stuff that isn't in other candy bars. Like, whole almonds, it's not in any other candy bar. Coconut, like, just... There's not really chocolate. It's just like, coconut.
Like, who invented the Almond Joy? It doesn't really make sense if you think about it. Wait, isn't Mounds the one with coconut? I thought that was different.
Almond Joy has almond, like, on top, and then just shredded coconut.
So what's Mounds filling? Then? Is that Almond Joy without almonds?
I'm not sure.
I think that might be what it is.
I've never had
it. So there's coconut in both. That's so weird. I don't like coconut.
Neither do I. I mean, I like it, but I don't want to eat it in a candy bar.
I don't want to eat coconut ever. Like, it tastes so weird. Like, I guess I like the flavor, but the, like, texture, it tastes like you're, like, eating, like soap shavings.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the texture of coconut. It's like, what is this? What exactly is this? You know what I mean?
Or if you soaked, like, construction paper in water and, yeah.
Yeah, like paper mache or something like that. And you're like, this is great. I don't know. All right, Almond Joy, that's a great... I think I'm going to steal that, too, because I also feel like an Almond Joy a lot of times, you know? I also feel like a nut, isn't that the song? Sometimes you don't. Da, da,
da, da. I don't know that song.
Okay. That was like a thing. Anyway, thank you for that question. That was a good question.
Yeah, that was
speaking of friendships, I think this is a good topic. I just thought of, I think about this sometimes, you know, like, we're good friends, right? Are we good friends?
We are. You don't have to worry. That's one thing you don't have to trouble yourself with.
Sometimes I get paranoid about that.
You don't have to.
I know. I never really think about it. Yeah. I'm just being silly. But you know how, like, you know when you have, you know, a best friend, because that's me, yeah. I think. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I consider, you know... This is an awkward conversation.
It is. Just that you don't have to worry.
See what I'm saying, though, I do. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got the, like, best friend thing locked down. You're like, I know who generally, maybe you have multiple, maybe you have, like, one or two. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, but you got that locked down. You're like, you know where you stand with those people because they talk to you all the time, blah, 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 blah. Now, once somewhere between best friend and acquaintance, there's, like, this really big gray area. And my entire life, I've tried to figure out what goes on in that gray area. And I have no idea to this day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I am.
Does that make sense to you?
I wish I had an answer. I don't.
Does that make sense, though?
Yeah, it does.
What I'm getting at? Yeah. You see what I'm getting at here?
You can have an acquaintance, and then
you can have maybe a best
you
friend.
Meet an acquaintance that you're pretty friendly with, and then you go hang out with them one day, and it's like, well. It doesn't feel as good as when I'm with a best friend.
You know? Well, no, I'm not saying that, but, like, it's weird. Like, the gray area is weird because, okay, an acquaintance, I know I'm an acquaintance of somebody, and they know that I'm their acquaintance. Best friend, I know they're my best friend. They probably know that if I'm not their best friend, we're really good friends. You know what I mean? Like, it's reciprocal. The gray area is where it breaks down, right? It's like... Because there's no reciprocity. Maybe there is, but there's not. It's not obvious, right? So, like, if I consider someone a decent friend, they might consider me a great friend. And if I consider them a great friend, they might consider me a decent friend. And you have no idea because that's a giant gray area. And unless you're an acquaintance or a best friend, you have no clue where you stand with other people. And it's very awkward for me. I feel like that, like, all my life, I feel, like, kind of an anxiety about that. Isn't that strange?
I know what you're talking about now. It's... Yeah. It's sort of one way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like the paranoia thing. Right.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, because you consider someone to be a great friend doesn't mean they consider you to be a great friend. Maybe
or
they just
versa.
Think that you're annoying.
Right, or vice versa, right? Exactly. Yeah. And but with best friends, it's obvious. It's like, oh, we've been friends forever. I know that we're, you know, we like each other. It's fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. It's fine. And with acquaintances, it's the same thing. You know you're on the same page. But the gray area, you're like, am I being too... And this is the other thing that gets me, right? So... sometimes when I make new friends, which I've done recently, I guess you could say, I get to the point where, you know, I don't like a lot of people. You know this about me. Like,
yeah.
I don't like really like very many people. But when I get to know somebody that I like talk to them a lot, like too much, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then you get to the point where you're like, am I talking to this person too much? I think I might be talking to this person too much. And then your brain says, you are being a weird person for... communicating with this other person way too frequently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you get to the point where it's like, you know, you get really paranoid. You're like, I think I should back off. I need to ease the brakes here because I might be being coming across as like a weirdo or a crazy person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then you get to the point where, wow, I'm analyzing this too much. I really am a creepy person. No
exactly.
one else thinks about this.
And exactly. And then you're like, well, shit, I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. Yeah. And see, this is where my brain goes. It's like, once something good happens to me, I like to analyze what it could be that's wrong in the situation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I second guess myself.
See, this is... Yeah, I don't know how to fix that. I'm sorry. It happens to me, too.
No. I'm not asking you to fix it. I'm just trying to see if you experience similar things, you know, to this, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. It's an interesting... It's an interesting conversation to have. I just think it's you know, you can have certain conversations with people, and you can have certain conversations with other and you cannot have certain conversations with other people. And what kind of conversations you can have with people is very not clear in the gray area. I'm calling it the gray area. But with the acquaintance, it's clear what kind of conversation you can have with them. With best friend, it's clear what kind of conversation you can have with them. But in the gray area, it's like, is this a weird conversation to have? I'm not sure. Maybe I'll try it.
Yeah.
Nope, that's weird. I'm not going to try it. You know?
So. Maybe I know why we're like this. Maybe I can think of a reason. So have you ever had a conversation with someone you thought was a great friend or could handle what you were talking about, and immediately after you said it, you were like, oh, no, I should not have said
yes.
that.
Yes, that's happened to me many times.
Yeah.
Has it happened to you?
Oh, absolutely. Because you know me really well, and anyone who listens to this knows that I'm pretty weird. I can talk about weird stuff sometimes, and not everyone wants to talk about that kind of stuff. And I can bring it up, and then you can hit a wall with people where people are like, "No, this isn't. I'm not going.
This is not what I signed up for."
Yeah, I do not want to participate in what you're doing right now.
And then you're like, "Well, shit." And then you're like, "Well, shit." Yeah,
and once you get burned by that a couple times, you are hesitant to try again.
You're kind of back off. And you kind of live in a shell. And, I feel like it's happened to me enough times to, like, develop that kind of shell. It's like, well, you know, I'm not going to, just won't say anything, right? And it takes me a while to get out of it a little bit, right? So.
Yeah, I've talked about this with someone else before. There was my old boss at my old job. I used to go and play board games with him at his house a couple times, like a month or whatever. And one night, like, we had both had a few beers, and he was, and I was like, man, I think I'm kind of weird. Do you think I'm weird? And he's like, and he's like, you don't understand. Everybody's weird. And then I'm like, no.
Not to this level, they're not.
No, not like this, they're not.
And then what happened?
And then we didn't talk about it anymore.
Oh, that's weird.
When I hear someone say, like, everybody's weird, it's like, no, I think everybody's different and everyone has, you know, weird things
about
them.
Everyone is weird to a degree, right? There are degrees, though. It's like some people are a lot weirder than others, right?
Yeah. But then there are some people like me that are just kind of fascinated with I'm fascinated with taboo things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, by definition, weird.
That is weird. And you won't bring it up a lot, but
no.
If you're comfortable with someone, you'll bring it up.
Yeah.
And that might make them uncomfortable or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, what do you think about monkey and human hybridization. Like,
that's controversial.
Cloning.
It's taboo and it's
right?
interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. But you bring it up, you know. So, but I respect people who bring that up because it's an interesting thing to talk about, in my opinion. But no, it is weird. It's the gray area, man. Like, I don't know the gray area. I've never understood the gray area. I'm glad that I have people that are obviously in two separate sides. I'm glad I have people in the gray area, but I don't understand it. You know, I'll never will. I don't think in my life.
Do you know, like, dating sites? Yeah. This is, like, sort of related, but not really. So, I've seen a couple. I've never used them personally, but I've seen a couple, and I feel like if I were to use one, that would be something I would put in a dating profile. Like, oh, by the
what
way,
would you put?
I kind of like to talk about weird stuff.
Oh, okay. So they know up front that you like to talk about weird stuff.
I like to talk. I like to be challenged, and I've never seen.
Mentally.
People just don't do that. So.
It's true. They don't.
People put impressive normal things in there.
Like, I can run 100 meters.
I participated.
I can run a marathon.
Yeah, I participated in this mile, more than a mile, probably. 5 miles.
Whereas yours would be like, I'm interested in taboo subjects like human-monkey hybridization. And, well, you wouldn't put that down, but you know what I mean. Or, I want to investigate the... I don't know. I don't know what your topics are. I stay up at night and look at air traffic control websites because I'm fascinated by them.
I like to know where the planes are going. You know,
although that's not taboo, but...
Yeah.
It's something, I guess. I don't know. You sound like you're cutting out a little bit. How's your internet doing?
What? It is cutting a little bit. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You want to do one more Reddit and then cut it? Because I don't want to tempt fatal here on the show.
All right, here we go. One more Reddit question.
Make it a good one.
All right, this was asked by... It's not a good question, but we're going to do it. Maybe I'm talentless. Thank you, maybe I'm talentless.
Maybe I'm talentless, too. Thank you.
What happens during a bank insurance inspection?
I have no idea. We could probably figure that out, though.
Let's figure it out.
They probably, like... You know, like, when you buy a car and you, like, kick the wheels and stuff like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Probably something like that. Like, the insurance guy goes in and he, like, looks at all the walls and then he, like, knocks on them. He's like, this seems pretty solid. Yeah, this is good. And he goes, let me see the vault. And they're like, here's the vault. And he's like, knocks on it. He's like, this seems, like, pretty good. Yeah. I mean, how thick is this? And like, oh, 5 feet. And they're like, good. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they, like, probably has, like, a stethoscope that he, like, uses on the vault door. To, like, listen for things or whatever. And then they probably lead him to, like, the medical supply place, like, first aid or whatever. And then I imagine that they have, I don't know if banks have this, but if I was a bank, I would have it, a plan for if you're, like, robbed, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, a plan of, like, a action plan or something.
What are you going to do? Yeah, so he would be like, run me through your bank robbery action plan, you know, really fast.
He blows a whistle, that. Like, burr, go.
Yeah, like, burr, go. And then they, like, do it. And then he, like, rates them. You know what I mean? And they're like, okay, you're doing good. You can keep having insurance. Or, like, no, you know, you have a warning. You need to fix these things or else we won't insure your bank anymore. Something like that. You know what I mean?
I love that.
Wow, that was a very logical answer, I feel like. I feel like that might actually all happen. You know?
I want to believe it happens, that he walks around with his stethoscope and he listens to the vault. And he's like, yeah. Sounds good. That's a good solid.
It's a good vault. What kind of lock do you got? What kind of lock do you got on this thing? They're like, oh, a Gretchen 425. He's like, oh, that's a good brand. It's good. They like small talk about like safe cracking conventions and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I imagine it would go down. Sounds like a really boring job, but I don't know. If you got to do a mock bank robbery, that sounds kind of fun, right?
Yeah, I kind of like the action plan idea.
You could run through if it's like hostage situation or not, you know. Are the police on their way? Have they been called? Have they not been? You know, et cetera, et cetera. How many people were in the bank at the time? You know, all these variables he can throw at you. He can come in with an envelope, right? And he can be like, all right, you guys are getting robbed. And then he throws it down and then he opens it and it's like a random robbery scenario.
Okay, like, it's completely they got, random. Like, robbery flashcards.
Randomized. Yes. And they're like, here's your role, you know. This is what's happening. This is how many bank robbers there are. And, like, depending on what the scenario is, the bank has to react. And then he, like, grades them. It's like an emergency preparedness thing that they do with, like, first responders kind of thing. Like, it's similar to that. It's like a mock, you know, thing.
I like it. It's a good answer. I think my internet's cutting out, though, so we should probably cut the show.
Okay. We got an hour out of that. That wasn't pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, this has been episode 130-something of the Time Bat Show. Who's our sponsor today, Bat Snacks?
Our sponsor today is Lucky Break Insurance Specialists.
When you need to insure your bank from robbery and theft and all that other stuff, use Lucky Break. Remember, when you're in the mood for a snooze, don't forget to bring your
booze.
Good night. Good night. Good night, everyone. Have a great day. Drive safely. Have fun in North Carolina.
Bye.